Hey guys, so I've had this word kind of sitting on my heart for some time now, and I've been asking God how to articulate it because there's so many directions I would love to take this, but I'm going to try to keep this short and sweet and encouraging and maybe even a little challenging, but in a good way. So God has been talking to me lately about this progression or this journey that sometimes we go through, and it's based out of Psalm 136 through 139. And I just want to unpack that a little bit before sharing what he's kind of spoken to me about it. And so you have Psalm 136 that you're going to hear some clicking because I'm pulling up these verses that talks about just God's goodness. And I call it the trail of testimonies. You have the psalmist talking about God's tender love continuing on forever. Different translation says his love never quits. And it's pretty much a hymn of praise recounting God's actions in the past, from creation to the Exodus to giving of the land to the Israelites. And it's just so beautiful. You have, I'll read a few verses here, like Psalm 136, verse 11. It says, "He brought his people out of Egypt with miracles. His tender love for us continues on forever. With his mighty power, he brought them out. His tender love for us continues on forever. He split open the Red Sea for them. His tender love for us continues forever." And it goes on and on about the different things that God has done in caring for, rescuing, providing for the Israelites from the beginning of time. But as I kind of read this verse or this chapter, I thought, I wonder if this psalmist is declaring these victories or declaring these testimonies from a place of excitement or from a place of asking God to almost like help his unbelief. And I thought of the many ways in our own life that we go through Psalm 136 seasons where we are pressing in for something and we ask God, God, we declare that you are good. Your love endures forever. God, you have done this and this in my life. Your love endures forever. Lord, you have healed me from back issues, from heart issues, and we just start declaring his faithfulness and goodness, because we are pressing in for something else, or we're needing our heart to align to that truth. And then the Lord starts showing me, 137. He's like, keep reading. And you have 137 that is kind of a sad chapter, really. The voice translation says that 137 is a lament written either during or shortly after the exile, and providing a vivid image of what life in exile must have been like. And you have very strong language of torment and feeling forsaken. And the psalmist says, I'm never gonna praise you again. I'm never singing again. What's the point? We've been destroyed, and then it keeps on going and saying, even wishing bad upon the enemies. And I think of the seasons that we go through life where we enter Psalm 137 seasons, that when our heart is asking for something or expectant of something, we're met with suffering. We're met with personal exiles, if you will. We're met with feeling stripped down, or feeling destitute, or feeling forsaken or abandoned. And I love that God was like, keep reading, it doesn't end there. You have 138, Psalm 138. This verse in the Passion Translation is titled "The Divine Presence." And so I imagine, after pouring out our suffering, pouring out disappointment or pain or discomfort, that God's divine presence comes in. And I love what the psalmist, David actually says. It says, and starting in verse 2, I bow down before your divine presence and I bring you my deepest worship as I experience your tender love and your living truth. For the promises of your word and the fame of your name have been magnified above all else. At the very moment I called to you, you answered me. You strengthened me deep within my soul and breathed fresh courage into me. And he keeps going and he talks about, you know, you keep me alive and reviving me. And he even says, you know, your power set me free from the hatred of my enemies. So there's even repentance for, you know, all the things I said out of a place of suffering. And then you have the classic Psalm 139. And the Passion Translation titles it, You Know All About Me. And I'm going to read a little portion of this just because I absolutely love this translation, starting in verse 10. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere, bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night to you is as bright as the day. There's no difference between the two. You formed my innermost being, shaped my delicate inside and my intricate outside, and wove them all together in my mother's womb. I thank you, God, for making me so mysteriously complex. Everything you do is marvelously breathtaking. It simply amazes me to think about it, how thoroughly you know me, Lord. And the psalm keeps going, you know, talking about just being set apart, being known in the secret place, being strengthened, having, you know, our heart examined, and all these different things. And anyway, as I was kind of sitting on these verses these last couple of weeks, I felt the Lord was just kind of showing me how we can go through these journeys sometimes. And the thing that sets us up to know who we are has a trail preceding it. You know, there's moments in our lives where we come before the Lord, you know, expectantly, and we're asking and we're praying and we're declaring his promises. We're declaring these beautiful things. And sometimes at the end of the declaration, we are met with suffering and we're met with trials. We're met with exile. We're met with the feeling of feeling abandoned or forsaken. And at the end of our pouring out, his divine and sweet presence comes in to refresh us, to strengthen us, to remind us that we are not alone. And that is the thing that sets us up for identity and sets us up for victory. And so I just want to encourage you guys. I have been kind of holding on to that verse in, or verses in Psalm 112 lately. That, again, I'm going to read again, Psalm 112, 7 through 8, that says, they will not be afraid when the news is bad because they have resolved to trust in the eternal. Their hearts are confident and they are fearless, for they expect to see their enemies defeated. I recently went through a season, very, very recently, with a friend where we were pressing in for something. You know, we're pressing in for just a big move of God. And we weren't sure what it was going to look like and all these things. We had some hopes of what we would like it to have looked like. And certain aspects of it did not turn out the way that we expected. And there were parts of me that were, you know, just heartbroken, both for my friend, but also for something deeper that I really couldn't articulate. And I realized in these last couple of days that part of the grieving and the heartache was my spirit lovesick for the glory of God to be made known in a powerful way in this community. It actually reminds me of Song of Songs 2:5, the last part of it, where it says, "Help me and hold me, for I am lovesick. I am longing for more." And in this season, the Lord has really strengthened my faith. And I just wanted to take a moment to strengthen your faith and to encourage you in whatever it is that you're pressing in for, that your faith is in God. Your faith is in the Lord. And the way that, again, Peter locked eyes with Jesus to be able to stay afloat was such a powerful thing, because his faith was in God. It was not in being upheld by the water. It wasn't in the circumstance. It wasn't in the outcome of something. It was in Jesus. And there are moments where we press into things. There's moments where we have our Psalm 136 moments, and we are declaring his goodness. And there's moments where we are met with suffering on the other end of that, and things do not turn out the way that we want. But his presence comes in and radically changes our identity, our DNA, to where we realize that we do not live in faith for an event or a moment, but that faith is a lifestyle. And that's something I'm so thankful for this season, that I really feel the Lord has just kind of stirred. And I want to challenge and encourage y'all to walk in a lifestyle of faith, that faith will not be passive in heartache or discouraged in heartache, but that faith will be fierce in expectancy, and that you can have faith while also trusting his sovereignty. I know sometimes people wrestle with, you know, well, why should I have faith with this? Or I don't want to have faith if it's not going to turn out this way. And I just want to encourage you, whatever it is that you are pressing in for, whatever promises you're holding tightly onto, to be so lovesick for his glory to be fully known in whatever that looks like, that you have faith. You have faith for the miraculous. You have faith for the amazing and radical move of God and transformation in your life, in your community, in your relationships, in your circumstances, that you are so lovesick for his glory. You are so lovesick and longing for something more, that you have fierce expectancy in him while also trusting fully his sovereignty. And so, again, I wanted to keep this short and sweet, and encourage you in whatever season your life looks like right now, whether you are declaring his goodness, asking God to help your unbelief, whether you are pouring out your suffering, whether you are being met with his divine presence, or about to be set up in the conviction of knowing who you are, that you would have fierce expectancy for whatever it is the Lord is doing, because it pleases him for us to press in and enter his gates with expectancy and with hope, alive for who he is and for more of him, and trusting him with whatever the outcome is, because again, our faith is in him, not in an outcome. And so anyway, I just wanted to encourage you guys, as I'm currently walking through that. And I'm very thankful for my friend who stirred that faith within me. Cause I had not had that crazy amount of faith in a really long time since I prayed for my dad to come back to life. You know, I stood over his dead body and I asked God to bring him back. And I prayed and I prayed and I wept and I wept, and it didn't happen. And I walked away discouraged. And I realized in this season of having my faith stirred again, that I had been living with temporary faith. I had been living with faith in an outcome, not a faith lifestyle, and a resolution to be lovesick. And so I just declare that this is a season of lovesick resolution, right? January is about resolutions and New Year's resolutions and all these things. And so I implore you that in this year, you know, there's so many different words going around about being prepared for his promise and standing for the miraculous, that you resolve it in your heart to be lovesick, that you resolve it in your heart to long for more, that you resolve it in your heart to have fierce expectancy of what God desires to do in your life while trusting him fearlessly and confidently with whatever the outcome is. So anyway, that's just kind of been something that's been stirring, and I've been wanting to get it out there. And I just want to pray over you right now. So Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for what you've done in my own life. I thank you for what you're doing in my friend's life. I thank you, Father, for what you're doing in the body, the church at large right now. You are setting us up for a great move. And Father, I pray that you will deal with our fears. I pray that you will deal with our anxieties, that you will deal with our discouragements or disappointments, Father God, that you would align our hearts to you, Father, that we would be healed from our perspectives of you, and we would know you as a good Father, not because of an outcome, but because of the truth of what your word says about who you are and who you say you are. And so, Father, I just thank you that you are good, that you are faithful. And Lord, I pray that you would rise up a fearless faith in your body right now, that you would stir up the saints to enter your gates, to enter the throne room, to enter the Holy of Holies, to enter the courtroom with fierce expectancy of the miraculous happening, both in the natural and the supernatural. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for stirring us up. We thank you for giving us courage to expect great things and to stand in those promises. And we thank you that we trust you no matter what. Even as Daniel said, you know, I trust you in this, but even if you don't rescue me, or his friend said, even if you don't rescue me from the furnace, like, I'm still not bowing down to any other God because I am so lovesick for you. And so, Father, I pray that you would grow a lovesickness within us, that we would be resolved to press into you and live a lifestyle of faith that is mind-blowing and that is refreshing to both the body and the lost, Father God. And so, Lord, I declare these things, and I just pray these things over my brothers and sisters right now, Father. And I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, this is a little bit different of a podcast than I've done. Not my typical researching and whipping out the neuroscience and the Hebrew and the Greek. But I just wanted to share this exhortation and encourage you guys to fearlessly and fiercely expect amazing things from a great God and trust his sovereignty no matter what, and to be resolved in trust and a desire for more. So anyway, I hope this encouraged y'all. I hope this stirs you up, and I hope it challenges you in your discomforts or the ways that your faith is limited. And I hope that whatever it does, it draws you closer to the Lord and gives you a new perspective of what he wants to do in your life, or how he wants to grow your faith, or how he wants to just do do a big move. So I'm excited to bring some more of these words as he kind of downloads them. And I hope you guys have a beautiful evening and a great rest of your week. God bless.